This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, baseball immortality. That's on the table starting tonight. What Yankee will join baseball immortality? Will there be one? Will it be a Dodger? I think there's several key figures in this series. I'm going to talk about Stanton a little bit, too, because I'm hearing a lot of stuff about Giancarlo Stanton. Because I'm a baseball junkie, so I listen to a million podcasts and a million. I think analytics, just to get into analytics just for a second here, because I appreciate analytics more than most fans. I think it's just a bad word that people use anytime there's something about a game they don't like. It's analytics. The analytics are killing the sport, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the two teams in the World Series are the best record in the league with all the superstars here are, you know, as built on analytics as any other teams in the sport. I mean, their analytics are successful. But I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there are some, and I think it's a great podcast. It's a part of the Athletic Network. But they get so into the numbers sometimes that it's just so trying to justify not pitching around Stanton in the series against Cleveland by saying, well, you know, if you look at their career, whatever number, I even forget what the number was, but it was like, you know, Jazz Chisholm's a 371 and Stanton's a 382. You don't walk, you know, a 382 just to pitch with the go-ahead run on base to a 371. There's not enough of a difference. We got to watch the game. Stanton can't miss. Stanton's hitting a home run every time you throw the pitch in the zone, and Jazz Chisholm can't get a base hit. But you're going to give me their overall career, whatever number you're going to choose. Like, sometimes it's crazy. But I want to get into Stanton because I think there's a perception of all it is mistakes by some people. 888-808-1019. Brian and Haslett. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Not bad. Listen, you know what bothers me?
What's that?
These Met fans. I get a bunch of sore loser vibes from them.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I wanted a Subway Series, yep. And I'm not getting it from them. You know, they lost. Mm-hmm. Sorry for them. But I'm not getting the same vibes now that I was rooting for. It's the Yankees versus the Dodgers, and
right.
Now they're just very salty. They want the
Certainly
Yankees
are.
To lose. I don't like that at all.
Well, listen, I understand them wanting the Yankees to lose, quite honestly. I know that some of us, I was one of them. Hi, my name is Chris. I was a Yankee fan rooting for the Mets. Some Yankee fans get very upset about that. I was rooting for the Mets. I had money on them to make it to the postseason during the regular season. I thought they had every opportunity to win this series against the Dodgers. I'm annoyed at Met fans in many ways for the quick nature to just suddenly talk about how great the season was instead of getting a little bit angry that your team didn't accomplish what it could have accomplished and what it was good enough to accomplish. But there's no doubt the Met fan, and I got to be totally honest with you. I got to tell it like I see it. A lot of them, and it's not everybody. It's the social media. It's not every Met fan. Certainly. I would never get on a Met fan for rooting against the Yankees. Two reasons. One, they're the Yankees. And two, I understand any Met fan who wants to see the Dodgers win and say, hey, we lost to the best team. I was always like that as a kid. I've changed. My bitterness has changed. And I grow angry and hatred for a team. Like, I'll never root for the Astros in the World Series. I don't care who they're playing. Even if the Yankees lose to the Astros again or lose to the Red Sox, like, I won't root for them. When I was a kid, I did. When I was a kid, I was like, all right, let's go Angels. I know I wasn't. I was in college when they lost to the Angels. That's the problem with saying when I was a kid, because they never lost when I was a kid. But when I was a Yankee fan in my younger days, I'm like, all right, Angels, you're going to knock us out after all these World Series appearances. You're going to be the finally team that beat us. Go win a championship so I can say that, hey, we lost to the future World Series champs. Like, I was very much like that. Now I'm angry. And I hate the Astros, and I would never root for them. And I hate the Red Sox. I would never root for them. But I could understand why Met fans would say, hey, let's say we lost to the best team in baseball. We lost to the champs. We caught them a series earlier than the Yankees did. And it's the New York Yankees. So I have no problem with rooting against the Yankees. Here's my problem with the Mets. and their fans right now, at least the perception of a lot of the Met fans. And I'm looking right now. I'm going to talk to one in a second. Two things. One, the obsession currently, at the moment, and really all year long, but still now, when you should be tucking your tail between your legs just a little bit, the obsession with Juan Soto and constantly talking about how he's going to be a Met. Constantly, like a lot of the big Met fan groups and stuff that, you know, have social media accounts putting out pictures of Soto in a Met uniform. Every time I tweet out Juan Soto is a Yankee, I get a million Met fans for 2 weeks. Going to be a Met next year. Steve Cohen's going to buy him, steal him away. They're going to steal Juan Soto away from the Yankees. That's what they're hanging on to right now. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The idea that that's what the Met fans are living for at the moment, the idea they'll steal Juan Soto away, and that's what you're focused on, is embarrassing. And then the other thing is this constant need to talk about the road the Yankees took to the World Series, because it's absolute nonsense. I heard Evan talking about the Boston Celtics last year and the perceived easy road to the NBA Finals, and then watching them perform and seeing how good they are. It doesn't matter. It's still a great team, blah, blah, blah. I don't even care about that. I mean, I do, but I'm sorry. Those teams, while not being as good as the Yankees and not being as good as the Dodgers and probably not being as good as the Padres, those teams were not easy. Those teams had elements that would scare you in a short series. The Mets were two outs away from losing to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Mets are better than the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers aren't any damn good. And they were two outs away from losing to them. And that's not to knock them. Great job to win the series. That Pete Alonso home run's probably still the best of this entire postseason. That's the best moment of this entire postseason, that home run. But don't make it seem like it's a cakewalk because those two teams are perceived not to be good. Again, the starting pitching of the Kansas City Royals is better than what they will face in the World Series. The bullpen of the Cleveland Guardians is better than what they will face in the World Series. The lineups, not even close. Obviously, the Dodgers are better. All-around team, Dodgers are better. No doubt. Doesn't change the fact that those two teams had elements that could scare you, and the Yankees played 99 games. And won 7 of them. They went 7-2 in this postseason. I don't care what the road is. I don't care what you can go out. You could have a 9-game road trip against, or a 9-game homestand, better yet, against the Chicago White Sox, the Colorado Rockies, and the Miami Marlins. You win 7, you did a damn good job. That's baseball. And they went through the American League like a hot knife through butter, and those teams aren't jokes. The Cleveland Guardians won the second most games in the American League this year. Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I want to say that guy Brian sounds like a bozo. But, I mean, they act like the Yankees. They had to fight hard to get to where they are. I mean, the Mets fought tooth and claw, but these Yankees, I mean, let's be honest. They don't have a chance against the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
why is that?
I mean, the only chance.
Why is that?
I mean, they got nobody. I mean, Judge, he's been okay. He hasn't been stepping it up. I mean, the only chance they got is if they bring back Jason Giambi.
There you go. You got it. A Jason Giambi call. Come on. I wanted you to be serious. You couldn't even get it out without laughing. The old Jason Giambi calls. I was there for the genesis of that. I still don't know why they happened. I still don't know how that started. Just one guy called up and started saying Jason Giambi to Mike all the time, and it took on a life of its own. I miss those Jason Giambi days. But come on. The Yankees have no chance against the Dodgers is just ridiculous. Again, show me a matchup. Show me a part of the Dodger team that is far better than the New York Yankees. Go ahead. I dare you. Tell me where they're better than the New York Yankees. Clearly, without question, much, much better. You're not going to be able to find it. Again, the biggest differential in groups in this series and matchups in this series, the Yankees starting pitching is much better than the Dodgers starting pitching. That's it. That's the only, you know, advantage. That's the only unit that is far better on one side than the other. That's it. And I'm not even saying that's enough, because you could argue every other unit is an advantage of the Dodgers. You could argue the lineup's better. You could argue the bullpen's better. You could argue the defense is better. You certainly can argue, and you will, that the base running is better. Like, you could argue a lot of that stuff. So in many other aspects, the Dodgers are all better, but it's slightly better. That's good enough to win a series, though. By no means am I beating my chest saying the Yankees are going to dominate the series. But there is nowhere where you can point and say the Dodgers are just absolutely dominantly better, and that will be the difference in the series. Like, it's just, you can't do it. Jacob in Pennsylvania. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, Mac, my guy. Great to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for making it, Jacob. What's going on?
Yeah, man. First of all, that last guy, I want to smack him so bad. That was so dumb.
Well, I mean, he gave me I was hoping he'd get into it. Like, I was about to have a good back and forth with a Met fan looking to talk about how easy the Yankee road was and all that stuff. And then he went right into half being able to, you know, spit out the word Jason, the name Jason Giambi without laughing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I told you, I told everyone, Giancarlo Stanton, remember before the season, I called you and I said he's going to take us to the promised land. And I wasn't reaching because, if you watch the games in previous years, he's been our best player. It's like,
anyone who paid attention would understand that since 2020, the best postseason player by a mile from the New York Yankees has been Giancarlo Stanton. It's not even close.
Yeah, absolutely. The lights are bright, and he comes out swinging, man. No pun intended.
No.
And what I tell you as well, Carlos Rodon is our main piece. And it first game against Cleveland, he came out, and he set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely beautiful to watch.
Yeah, he was great in that game. I still think Cole is more important and Cole is better, but yes. But I think we've eliminated some of the worries that Rodon's just going to be awful. Now, this lineup is really good. This lineup is scary. This lineup is dangerous. At any moment, any pitcher who takes the mound for the New York Yankees could get walloped. But I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him, because he's come through in big moments now.
Absolutely. And, you know, if Gerrit Cole does his thing tonight, which we expect him to do, Rodon game two is going to be, you know, that's it. The series is over. If Rodon comes out and Cole does his thing in game one, I think the Yankees win it in six,
well,
maybe five.
Yeah, I mean, look, well, I would hope so. If they win the first two games, I don't want them coming back to – if they win the first two games of this series, they better not come back to L.A. You got to figure out a way to win two or three in Yankee Stadium. You have to. But to me, even if they win the first, you know, I mean, it's not over. The series isn't over. I'd feel really good about it. But the starting pitch, you know, it's just such a, that absolutely could be the tone of this series. Like, if Cole and Rodon pitch great. Now, Yamamoto pitched well against the Yankees, but that Yankee lineup wasn't the same as this Yankee lineup. There was no Juan Soto in that game. And Yamamoto has looked okay in the postseason. But I feel pretty confident about the Yankees against the starting pitching, plus the way the Dodgers do business. Like, unless Flaherty is absolutely dominating the New York Yankees, he's not going to go more than four or five innings, max. Like, max. He'll go four innings. Like, really, that's how they do it. They want to get to this bullpen. The bullpen's now rested after a bunch of days off. That's how they think they're best. So if they're in the lead, right, if Cole gives up a run or two, and they're up 2-0 in the fourth inning, they're going to go to their bullpen in the fifth. Where the Yankees, I think you could still ask more out of Cole and Rodon. And that's going to be a huge part of this series. Milton in Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on, C-Max?
What's up,
C-Max, how great it is to root for a team that gives their fans a clean opportunity every year to win a championship. People have to appreciate it. I am so happy and I am blessed to be a Yankee fan, because I know every year I know they're going to try. They're going to put money into the team, and they're going to give us a chance to win. And we make the playoffs almost every year. Now, when you go to 81 to 94 and then the strike, that was pain. That was me seeing them make the playoffs, and I cried because I've never seen them make the playoffs, and it took forever. That felt like 90 years.
Yeah.
This hasn't felt like nothing. You know why it hasn't felt like a long time to me? Because we're consistently in it. Unlike the Mets, who are suffering because they lost, and I'm a little confused on what you said, that you bet them because you thought they're going to be. They had no shot at beating the Dodgers. I don't know why you think or anybody thinks the Mets are they were a hot team. There's a difference of being a good team and a hot team. They had what you call a little baseball mojo. They were just hot. They were not a good team. They're not that good.
I think that's unfair.
Okay. So tell me where they're good.
They had the best record in baseball since June. Manaea was one of the best starting pitchers in the second half. Severino was excellent this year. The last month of the season, Quintana
pitched. They got hot.
You don't get hot for half a year, man.
Okay.
They were the best team in baseball since June.
Okay, but what I see when I look on the field with the Dodgers, it was a clear mismatch when you look at the roster. I give them credit for going as far as they got, but for the Mets fans to be hating and saying they're going to get. So you know what? And I don't know how you feel about this, C-Mac. If we win the World Series with Soto, if he leaves, not that painful. But if we do leave, I mean, he does, you know, we don't win, I want him to come back. This team is always going to bring people in.
Yeah.
It's always going to be that way.
Well, Milton, and thank you for the call. I agree with a lot of what you said. I do agree. I've been the champion of that thought process. Like, really. That might be a bit hyperbole, but I like to think of myself as the champion of the thought process of the Yankees are in it every year, and while that's not good enough, you have to win. It's still better than the alternative. And considering the other teams in this town, like the reason, how could you still defend Brian Cashman? I still get it. They're in the World Series. People are still asking me how I can defend Brian Cashman. Because they're in it every single year. No, they haven't been to the World Series. It's not good enough. But every single year, he puts forth a team that's good enough to win. They just don't. And they're good enough to compete. And they're in the postseason every year. And they win all these games. Like, that can't go on forever without a championship, of course. So, I mean, now we're just parsing words or how much time. And I was willing to move on from Brian Cashman. But I agree with you. The idea that the word long and suffering can go in front of many fan bases, not the Yankees, not in this generation. Sorry, you can't say it. Long and suffering do not go hand in hand with the New York Yankees, not since 1994. Nope, can't say it. And that's a long freaking time. But as far as the Mets go, look, you got to be fair. You want to be mad at the Met fans being ridiculous right now and totally ridiculous. And we'll get into Juan Soto because Dave Lennon just put out a story about Juan Soto saying something about his free agency on some level. I think it's ridiculous Met fans are holding on to the idea of stealing Juan Soto as like their coping mechanism for losing the series. Totally agree. Totally agree. And I think they were so quick. And I'm surprised they need a coping mechanism because it sounded like they're ready to throw a parade for the team that lost in the NLCS. What a fun bunch immediately. Before the final out was made, the Mets fans were turning into, hey, what a great fun bunch it was this year. Let's celebrate them. But to say they were just a hot team that ran into a much better team in the Dodgers, that's not fair. Where are they good? The lineup. Where are they good? The rotation. How about your starting rotation and your lineup? Is that not a... Let's start there with where the Mets were good this year. The lineup top to bottom had as many good quality hitters in it as anyone in baseball, including the Dodgers. They weren't as top heavy. They didn't have as many MVPs or Hall of Famers. But Vientos became an absolute stud this year. You can't deny it. Lindor was an MVP this year. You can't deny it. Iglesias hit 340 this year. You can't deny it. You can't deny 340 over the amount of at-bats he had. And just with guys coming up and playing great, Taylor having an incredible season. Like, it just, you can't deny what happened here. They were good for a long time, far beyond just a hot team. Sorry, they were. That's why I'm disappointed in the fan base for moving on so quickly, because they were good. They weren't some plucky hot bunch who just, you know, was a miracle to be here. Again, I've said it a million times over the last couple days since they lost. It wasn't. They keep saying nobody would have expected them to be here. It's more than that. Nobody would have expected them to transform into a team worthy of being there. And they absolutely were. So as a Yankee fan right now, you want to crow? You want to beat your chest? You want to celebrate the fact they're in the World Series and the Mets aren't? That's fine, but you can't rechange history. The Mets weren't just some lucky hot team. They were damn good this year. There's no other way around it. They were good. It wasn't about Grimace. It wasn't about OMG. It wasn't about anything other than that. It was about Lindor being great. It was about Manaea transforming himself into one of the better pitchers in the sport. It's about David Peterson having a career year. I mean, it's about Vientos establishing himself as one of the premier young power hitters in the game. Like it's not fair to in hindsight call them anything other than a damn good baseball team who lost to another damn good baseball team. And by the end, the pitching was in fumes. I think that's fair. They were playing playoff games for so long that by the end of it, they didn't have the pitching. And that's why I don't look at that Dodger team and say, look how many runs they scored against the Mets. They're going to pound the Yankees. I don't see it that way. The Yankee pitching right now, at least, right now, not over the course of the whole year, but right now, the Yankee pitching is far superior than the Mets were in that series. This bullpen is far better than Stanek, Reed, Garrett, and Diaz. Like, that's all they had. Maton was an absolute zero. Buto was an absolute zero. This Yankee bullpen is far better than what the Mets are throwing out there. This rotation is going to be far better than Manaea on fumes. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, they still might score 10 runs a game. I don't know. But just to assume it because they pounded the Mets, I disagree. 888-808-1019. Continue to take your phone calls. I see you guys all lined up. We'll get to it. Still got an hour and a half to get to until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Game one of the World Series tonight. I cannot wait. I'm so pumped. I'm going to have the same setup. I'm a man of superstition and habit. And my son wants to do it again. So I don't know what the weather is supposed to be like. I got to check the temperature. What the temp is supposed to be like at 8 o'clock tonight, but outside, fire going, makeshift setup with a folding table and a TV stolen from my mother's living room outside. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to watch Gerrit Cole shut down the Los Angeles Dodgers. So we still got a couple things to get to. We still got to give predictions for this series. A lot still to do in an hour and a half as we get ready for game one of the World Series. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you in the overnight until 5 a.m. Yeah. We're coming, L.A. I know this is their song, but I do love it. And it reminds me of Naked Gun. I love L.A. Let's go. Imperial Highway. Come on, Cole. Judge Cole, stand all from the West Coast. Let's go. We love it. 888-808-1019. I don't hear it just until the chorus. Okay, play it up. We're going to make them eat this song. Gerrit Cole, tonight, big game for Cole. I love L.A. I'm pumped for this series. Seriously, I mean, come on. Dodgers, Yankees, two historic. I know the Yankee ballpark is new. They haven't been to the World Series since the first year of it. But Yankee Stadium, Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine, which is a beautiful ballpark. I went on my honeymoon. We went to Hawaii, but we did stop in L.A. and San Diego. I caught both. Petco was great, too. But went to Dodger Stadium. Saw them lose to the Red Sox, unfortunately. But a beautiful ballpark. Big-time series. Superstars all over the place. I can't wait. Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac. What's going on, brother?
What's up, buddy? How are you? I'm good.
You're like all sexy in a suit the other day at Carson.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Compared to Evan, thankfully he wasn't in that picture for himself for selfish reasons. It was ridiculous.
That's funny. Listen, you know I'm a pretty, even though I'm a Met fan, I'm pretty like down to earth. First of all, I definitely think you guys could take the series, but I said the same thing to Al. Al said the same thing about, oh, the Phillies, the Mets beat up on their bullpen, which, okay, I agree. Oh, they have all-stars? Okay, great. But this, the L.A. bullpen is pretty decent.
No, it's good.
The thing is, you have to hit them early, often, and hard. If you don't hit them, like, and the Yankees do the same thing that the Mets do, they have innings where they don't score. They go games where, okay, let's score in one or two innings, seventh or eighth inning. You have to hit them early and hard. If not, you're not going to win. Because they do have a better overall team, number one. And the starters, advantage Yankees, bullpen advantage L.A. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't a couple things I don't agree with on the early part of it. What do you mean by hit the bullpen early? Like early in the series, early in the game?
No.
Before you get to the bullpen?
Start. Yeah. You have to hit the starters early. If you can get the starters out and score runs in the first, second, third inning, if you knock those starters out, I think early, and you do it often. So like you said, you see the bullpen 3, 4, or 5 times.
They're going to do that anyway. They're going to do that anyway. Like, I think that's how they play the game. Maybe Yamamoto. Like, they're going to go to that bullpen early. Like, you think they're going to let... Like, this is how the Dodgers play the game. They look at this stuff. Like, I'm telling you, if Walker Buehler has...
But the Yankees do, too. Look at Cole. Cole pitched, what, 4 innings?
No, but Cole, they'll give a chance. I think Rodon, they'll give a chance. He got into... He was shaky in 2 of the 3 starts. What happened in the 1 start? He was great. They pitched 7 innings against the Royals. I'm telling you right now, if Walker Buehler has 3 innings and gets out scoreless after 3, they'll probably go to the bullpen for the 4th. Like, that's how they're, like, you don't even have to hit them to get to the bullpen early. Like, that's how dramatic, and that might be a bit much depending on how Buehler looks, but, like, they're not going to push him, especially against the top of this Yankee lineup. They're just not going to push him. But I thought you meant get to the bullpen early. Yeah, listen, of course, the starting pitching is the biggest matchup for the New York Yankees, then I expect the Yankees to hit the starting pitching, and that would be beneficial. But I also think they're going to go to the bullpen so often, and I have confidence in the Yankees right now getting to bullpens. They've done it. They've gotten, and you can't get better. This bullpen is not better than Cleveland's bullpen. It's just not. You know, Yankee haters and Met fans right now, I suppose, can say that because the Yankees beat them, but that doesn't change the fact that those relievers were having great years. That their bullpen was the best in baseball this year. That is not a Yankee apologist trying to add, you know, strength to a Cleveland team and justify a Yankees championship series victory. It's not. That's just a fact. That was the best bullpen in the sport this year. Their top 4 relievers were the best top 4 relievers by a mile in Major League Baseball this year. And the Yankees didn't just beat them once. They beat them every single game. So, I mean, I'm not... Is the Dodger bullpen better than the Yankees? I don't know. I think it might be a little bit deeper. I don't know if the best is better than the Yankees' best. And Clay Holmes is going to be a huge part of the bullpen. Is Clay Holmes the guy we saw the last 2 appearances? Or is Clay Holmes the guy we saw for the first 6? If he's the guy we saw for the first 6 appearances, then this bullpen is pretty damn good. And I would say as good as the Dodgers, if not better. The Dodgers have a little bit more. And especially if they're going to add, was it Vessi, the left-handed reliever? There's talks about him... being added as the second lefty reliever coming off the IL. Now, he hasn't pitched in a while. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I don't know what kind of, you know, stuff he's going to have coming back from injury, but that would help them to get at least a second lefty in there. But I think as far as, like, the top 4 go, I think the Yankees are just as good. I think maybe the next 2 or 3, the Dodgers are a little bit deeper. But with Nestor Cortes being added, I don't know. I feel pretty good about this Yankee bullpen. Dan in Queens. What's up, Dan? Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not bad. Listen, I got
to ask you 2 questions. Now that we've established that, you got any? Yeah, good.
Yeah, I got 2 questions. First, did Gleyber Torres just play himself into a new contract?
Mm-hmm.
Second one is, what is going on with Nestor and Stroman? Are they going to get some relief work, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, well, let me answer those. Let me answer the second one first, and I'll get to Glaber. Nestor Cortez, without question, is going to get relief work. Nestor Cortez is on this roster to get out Ohtani. He is going to pitch in enormous, important parts of this series. There is no doubt. As long as he's healthy and is effective the first couple times. Because if he's not healthy and he's really ineffective the first couple times, then I don't know how often they'll go to him the rest of the series. But as I've been talking about, the amount of at-bats you are going to have to get out Juan Soto for. Because I saw a stat that said, you know, we all talk about the third time through the lineup for the New York, for the starting pitcher, right? And the way the numbers go up that third time through the lineup. If you look at the third time that batters face the same reliever in the last two postseasons, or the postseasons that have had this new format, 800 OPS. So if you face the same reliever in a playoff series the third time and beyond, every player is an all-star. An 800 OPS if you see the same reliever for a third time in a series. That's what scares the hell out of me. And that's what gives me the most hope about this Yankee offense against the way they're going to throw bullpen. That's why I've talked about the length of the starting pitching being so important in this series. Because I don't care if it's Nestor Cortez or Tim Hill or anybody else, if Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman see the same guy for a third time, I'm scared. No matter who it is, Weaver. They're not Mariano. Nobody is. And if you see the same guy that many times in a short series, you just get comfortable. And these hitters are too damn good. So Nestor Cortez, without question, is going to get big at-bats. His numbers against Ohtani have been very good. He is going to face Shohei Ohtani in big spots. No doubt in my mind. And as far as Stroman's, to me, in mop-up duty. If in game three, for example, right? Game three, Yankee Stadium, three games in a row at Yankee Stadium. If Clark Schmidt just doesn't have it and gets pounded and gives up four runs in the first inning or two against this Dodger team, in comes Stroman to try and get you four or five innings, and you don't really, depending on where the series is, if they're 0-2, they might have to handle it different. But assume a series is tied 1-1, game three, Clark Schmidt gets knocked out in the second inning, and they're down five runs or something. He gets absolutely demolished. Ohtani hits a three-run home run in the second inning, whatever. In comes Stroman to get you through innings so you don't have to throw your bullpen and you kind of just hope the offense can get you back into the game. That's the only – Stroman's not coming in for big innings late in the game or, you know, I don't think so. He's not coming in for a big at-bat. Like, he is strictly mop-up duty. They're up five, they're down five. Maybe in comes Stroman to save the bullpen from innings. Nestor Cortez is going to be used as a reliever. Nestor Cortez, without question, is going to have to get big outs. He's going to be called on to get Freddie Freeman. He's going to be called on to get Ohtani. There's no doubt in my mind. He's a legitimate back end of the bullpen reliever right now to get big outs against the left-handed hitters for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then as far as Gleyber Torres, I've said it a couple times. Gleyber Torres won't have the cachet of the Juan Soto free agency. He won't have the cachet or the interest, maybe, on some level that the Pete Alonso free agency will bring. But I think you could argue that it's the most puzzling free agency, and I have no idea how to handle it. Like, I think the Mets, as long as the numbers are within reason, should sign Pete Alonso. I think the Yankees should do whatever they have to do to get Juan Soto. I think we'll find out if they do. It's going to be interesting what that number is and who gets involved. There's always going to be John Heyman, without question, is going to tweet out a surprise team has contacted Juan Soto and the Mets are blah, blah, blah. Like, it's going to be fascinating. The numbers are going to be crazy. It's going to be the story of the offseason. But you know what to do. Go out and get him. He's the great generational player. Go get him. Easy. And I think the same thing for Pete Alonso. Like, they're going to have a number. They'll probably draw a line in the sand on where they think it's worthy of paying him. If he's willing to take less, bring him. If he's not, goodbye. Like, it's kind of cut and dry with both of them. Gleyber Torres, I have no idea what to do. Because his postseason has been not just good, it's spectacular. It's spectacular. And his regular season was so the opposite. that, and we've seen it enough. Like, I really didn't think he could do anything to make me feel like they had to bring him back. If he goes out there, and you could make an argument, like, he is a very good, like, under-the-radar candidate to be MVP of the series. If he scores a ton of runs and gets on in front of Soto and Judge and they split doing the damage, Soto hits a couple, Judge hits a couple, Stanton hits a couple, but it's Gleyber Torres hitting 400 in the series and scoring 12 runs in the series and, like, comes through with a couple of big clutch hits of his own to score some runs and knock in some runs, you could argue he's the World Series MVP very easily. And if he does that, if he performs all the way through, wins the championship, has a great World Series, how do you not bring him back? Other than you need every single dollar to go sign Juan Soto. Pete in Queens. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Listen, how are you, buddy?
I'm from Queens. I'm good. No disrespect to the Mets. Great baseball team. However, the Yankees ran through the Royals. They ran through the Guardians.
Yep.
And the key to the series against the Dodgers will be Jason Giambi coming out of retirement.
Why am I getting Jason Giambi pranks? Don't you people know it's the World Series? The second Jason Giambi prank? Are we serious right now? I haven't gotten one like forever. I do Yankee Hot Stove. Everybody complains I talk too much Yankees. It's been Yankee, 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 right? Or at least that's the perception. I would venture to say I've done as much Aaron Rodgers as any other topic, but okay. Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. That Yankee shill McMonagle, that's all he talks about is the New York Yankees, Yankee Hot Stove, the whole nine. I haven't got a single Jason Giambi prank this entire time. I've been doing this show for over a year. 3:46, the Friday morning of Game 1 of the World Series, out come the Jason Giambi people out of the woodwork. What the hell? How is that possible? Come on, not today. I'm open to it. It does make me laugh, I have to admit, because it brings me back to the time of the Jason Giambi calls. But, like, enough. Come on. No more Jason Giambi pranks, please. Not during the World Series. Call me up after and say it's okay. You can miss Juan Soto as long as you bring back Jason Giambi. I'll be all in favor of the Jason Giambi off-season pranks. Not now. The World Series. Please, don't do this to me. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sleep today about this damn thing. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sleep when I go home focused on the New York Yankees in this World Series game. I don't need Jason Giambi pranks. Let me just say one other matchup here. I'm going to sprinkle them in as we go. Only got these three-hour shows, they go so fast. And I want to get your calls in, especially it's the World Series. So I want to give you guys a chance to talk. But I do want to just say real quick, one of the things about this series, too, and the lineups, both of these teams are excellent. They've been the best two teams in baseball this year at laying off balls. They swing at less balls than any other team in the postseason and any other team in baseball. That has been one thing they shared. They're 1-2 in laying off balls. And if you look up and down this lineup, guys have been even better at it in the postseason. Anthony Volpe has been, you know, superstar level staying inside the strike zone. Verdugo has been unbelievable staying inside, not going outside the strike zone. Gleyber Torres not going outside the strike zone. Even Giancarlo Stanton. Some of the amazing home runs and everything, almost as amazing as the limited number of strikeouts and swings outside the strike zone. Like, both of these teams, so it is going to be the biggest. We talk about the pitching matchup and the bullpen. Having, you know, the bullpen attacking the strike zone, because if you look at what the Yankees did in the Cleveland series, they didn't throw it a lot in the strike zone. And the two things that this bullpen has done, and both bullpens will do, are you have to attack the strike zone when you need to attack the strike zone, but also, unlike the Guardians against the Yankees pitched around a lot of guys to get to who they want. And in this lineup, that's dangerous to do, right? It's not the same. There aren't the Austin Hedges of the world. The bottom of the lineup's not nearly as good as the top, and there's more dangerous hitters that you want to avoid beating you. But at the same time, can't be putting a ton of guys on. can't walk the amount of hitters and hope you get the next guy out. I understand the bottom of the order is less dangerous, but last thing you want to do is put together an inning, because if you walk a guy in front of the eight hitter and suddenly the eight hitter hits a little bloop single over the first baseman's head, now you've got a problem. So staying inside the strike zone, and that's why stuff is going to be so important here. That's why Clay Holmes and his sink are staying inside the strike zone. That's Tommy Canley. You watch Tommy Canley pitch, he throws changeups specifically outside the zone. He throws a changeup inside the zone. They're going to have to be very careful inside the zone, because both of these teams do not leave the strike zone. If you are going to get them out, you have to go inside the strike zone. And that's why Nestor Cortes, for me, who works up and fills up the zone, is going to be so important, adding him if he's healthy. Both these teams do not leave the strike zone. Both of these teams walk. The bullpen that walks less hitters is going to be the one that comes out smelling sweeter. But the one thing about that that the Dodgers do that the Yankees don't, and here's, you want to talk about a benefit to the Dodgers, as I've talked about the one aspect of the Yankees in favor is the starting pitching. While both teams don't swing outside the strike zone, the Yankees swing at less strikes than the Dodgers. The Yankees just take more pitches altogether. The Dodgers attack the strike zone far better than the New York Yankees. So while working inside the strike zone, you have to, it hurts you less doing it to the Yankees because they take more pitches for strikes. If you go into the zone, the Dodgers attack. So it's going to be that's where the lineup's a little bit better. They have better numbers. They attack more strikes. They put better swings on strikes. They have done that in the postseason. The Yankees are just taking pitches. The Yankees have walked a lot. The Dodgers have walked a lot. The Yankees haven't come through with that big hit with the bases loaded that, you know, other than late in the game in a couple scenarios, the Dodgers have been better at it. So that's where the lineup is a little bit different. The Yankees are going to have to attack the strike zone a little bit more than they have in the previous series, because I think the Dodgers are going to come into the strike zone. And that leads to the Stanton conversation, which bothers me a little bit, because I'm, you know, listening to a lot of these podcasts and listening to a lot of these things, listening to a lot of different areas in preview of this series, and I'm hearing a lot of something that I think is unfair. Giancarlo Stanton has had an amazing postseason, and I think it's unfair when you look at how the Cleveland Guardians attacked him. And there's been a lot of talk about, well, you know, who's behind Stanton and the pitches made to Stanton, and the idea that of the three big names, right, of Judge, Soto, and Stanton, it's easier to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton. And that's what it's been, you know, for his career and certainly this year and over the course of the regular season. And I don't think we're giving enough credit to what Stanton has done in transforming himself, because I just said he has not left the zone nearly as much. We have not seen any, really, of the big flailing swings unless he's trying to force pitchers into the strike zone like he did against Bibee in that at bat. But like, I'm hearing a lot of the Dodgers will pitch Stanton better, and that I don't expect Stanton to dominate in this series the same way we have seen in other series. They attacked him when they shouldn't have. They didn't pitch around him when they should have. The Dodgers will do a better job of that. Plus, there's a way to pitch Stanton. They haven't gone about it. Like, I'm hearing a lot of that. We're also hearing from fans and different people that, hey, he's great in L.A. He's great against this team. He's going home. He's going to have a great season. Series MVP. I've heard it both ways. But I've heard a lot of people discount what Stanton has done here in the postseason and chalk it up to the idiot Cleveland Guardians. There's been a lot of, what an idiot, and I said it myself, how could you pitch to him? How could you pitch to him? How could you throw a breaking ball in the strike zone? Stop throwing him high fastballs. Oh, you know, they threw him three straight high fastballs. You can't do that. Like, there's been a lot of Stanton hit mistakes as opposed to Stanton was phenomenal. And I think we're going to see Stanton be phenomenal again, because this is a dude who just performs in the postseason, bar none. Just, it, I mean, you can go back to 2020. This is not about Cleveland making mistakes. I mean, does he hit mistakes? Of course. Did they make them? Absolutely. They shouldn't have pitched to him on two separate occasions for sure that turned into home runs. But that doesn't change the fact that something changes inside Stanton. And his at-bats are far better than they are the regular season. He's laying off pitches far better. He's attacking inside the strike zone far better. He's hitting fastballs far better. And when you do make a mistake, he kills it. And I look forward to him continuing that into the World Series. 888-808-1019. Quick break, update. We'll come back 4 o'clock, last hour on this Friday, previewing Game 1 of the World Series. We'll give you my final thought on who wins and how many games, and I'll give you my MVP as well as a couple of dark horse candidates for the MVP. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.